Welcome to The Shepherd's Voice with Archbishop George J. Lucas. Archbishop, good to be with you again.
Thank you, Dave. Good to be with you too.
Excellent. So we're rapidly drawing to a close the Easter season. And we know that in this diocese, you know, you've made the invitation a couple of times here. We're going to make it again for the faithful to return to the regular attendance, regular in-person attendance at Sunday Mass. With the obligation coming back into force at Pentecost weekend. It's a fitting time. I know Pentecost is an important celebration for the church always, and I know personally this is something you've underscored for us in the past. You know, how is that preparation working for you, and what are you hearing so far?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope the headline will be not so much the obligation, but the invitation. Many of our people who have necessarily, for good reasons, stayed away from Mass, at least Sunday Mass during the past year, have been coming back, and that's been beautiful to see. I've been doing a couple parish visits and celebrating confirmation, and it seems like two things. Parishes are still being thoughtful and careful about the situation that we're in, but also parishioners are feeling more confident and comfortable to come to Mass. As I've mentioned before, in consultation with the other bishops here in Nebraska and with our priest council, we've decided that we should just sort of normalize what's an important part of Catholic life, that there is this responsibility, this privilege of participating in Mass on Sunday, week by week. And it seems that we're moving to the point where that's safe for almost everybody. Mm-hmm. There are some exceptions, and the obligation never binds when it's either not good or not possible for somebody to be there. But really, my hope is that in our parishes, and I want people to hear it from me too, that we really do welcome our parishioners back, especially if it has been a while since Catholics have been able to be at Mass. Some others have been there all year, some coming back more recently. But for everybody, it's great to be together. It's where we belong. It really constitutes us as a community of Catholic believers under the headship of Jesus and in communion with him in the celebration of Mass in the Holy Eucharist. As you say, it's the Feast of Pentecost coming up. It's the end of the Easter season, but there too, the headline isn't this is the end of something, but it really is the beginning of the age that we're still living in the church, the age of the Holy Spirit, we could call it, but the post-Pentecost period. It's in our time, starting way back so many centuries in Jerusalem, that the promise of Jesus to send the Holy Spirit, that promise is fulfilled. And it's an experience that we continue to have, to enjoy in the church. There was that original Pentecost in the church, the coming of the Holy Spirit on the apostles, and their beginning to fulfill the mission that Jesus had given to them, given to the church. But that experience continues. And so we don't just look back on an event that did happen, but the Holy Spirit continues to be bestowed on believers now through the power of the sacraments. And we continue to have an experience of how the Spirit works in our lives individually and in the life of the church in our time.
That experience continues. We're also kind of in the season where confirmations are happening or have been happening for a while, right? Those are still going on, right?
Yeah, I have a few more. And in parishes where we have big groups and some of the pastors are confirming with my delegation, those are going to continue on, I think, through the early summer.
Yep. Yeah, this is the time, you know, so this is a particular season where we hope to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is offering. But as you point out, this is when you use that phrase again, the age of the Holy Spirit, this epoch of human history, basically. This is something we talk about, the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit, what we hope to receive, what we hope to respond to. What should we look for? What are the signs we look for to know that we're following the promptings of the Spirit?
Great question. And I think maybe take a step back before that.
Okay.
So it's a good time for us to ask ourselves as we celebrate this Feast of Pentecost, do I experience the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life? And do I have faith?
Yes.
That the third person of the Trinity dwells in me and dwells in us as a church, as a gift that has been promised by Jesus. And it's a personal gift, so a gift who is absolutely necessary if we're going to really have a relationship with Jesus Christ now in our time. Again, not just remember mm-hmm. stuff he did in the past, mm-hmm. but to experience the risen Jesus, Jesus alive right here. And then carry out the work that he gives to us individually and collectively as his disciples. It is important for us to acknowledge that this is God's plan mm-hmm. and that this powerful gift of the Holy Spirit is bestowed on us and that we have received it. So if I have the sense, well, I don't, this doesn't make too much difference to me, mm-hmm. then I think that's a problem, but also kind of a challenge, sort of an opening for us to mm-hmm. to grow. In our tradition, we understand that the Spirit comes with all kinds of gifts and we might say manifestations. So I look for evidence that the Spirit is at work in my life and that I'm cooperating. So I should understand how what we call the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, that how those are at work, how I might be employing them, and then just to be able to recognize the fruits of the Spirit that the Scripture describes and that we've seen in the history of the church, the Holy Spirit acting in my life for my own good, but for the sake of the building up the body of Christ. You mentioned confirmations. I in my homily, as I've celebrated the sacrament of confirmation during these months of the spring, I've encouraged those who are being confirmed to put the Holy Spirit to work, so that they can begin right away to understand that they have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and that the Spirit dwelling in them makes a difference. So I think one way is to sort of ask it like you did. So how do we see the Holy Spirit making a difference? But I think it's best to start with asking the Holy Spirit to show me what the difference is. Hmm. I think it's a request that will be answered. And so really what I encourage them is to make two requests of the Holy Spirit, which I'll offer to those who are listening, because I think they're good for any of us. I'm hoping that the adults in the congregation at confirmation are also listening and thinking, maybe this is for them. So the first thing I encourage us to ask of the Holy Spirit is to, the Holy Spirit, help me recognize how close Jesus is to me and help me experience his closeness. It's part of the job of the Holy Spirit, I think, and the reason why Jesus promises us this gift, because this is a privilege and an experience that he wants his disciples to have. Mm-hmm. He wants us not just to know about him or to think about him from a distance, or again, think about him as a figure from the past. He's alive, he's risen from the dead, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can encounter Jesus here in a real and personal way. Mm-hmm. We don't see him face to face like the first disciples did, but it's the same Jesus, and it's Jesus crucified and risen, who is inviting a relationship with me. And if it's really a relationship, he's inviting me to be his friend, his disciple, then I should be able to experience that. Mm-hmm. That should make a difference to me. It's not just a pious thought, but this most important person, God and man in all of human history, wants to be part of my life. It's the Holy Spirit that helps me experience that's really true, and that Jesus is really here. We see that just as we've been talking these weeks in a very powerful way in the Mass. Mm-hmm. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we experience in our participation that Jesus is really with us. He speaks his living word to us in the Scriptures, and then as the Eucharistic liturgy continues, our gifts of bread and wine are placed on the altar. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and the words and the actions of the priest, Jesus becomes really present. And he doesn't just visit, but he gives himself to us as our spiritual nourishment. How much closer could he be? I don't think we could recognize that's true without the help of the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit's acting in that liturgical sacrifice, and then the Holy Spirit is acting in me to believe it, not as in a kind of a childish way, but to know that it's true and to put my trust that Jesus is really there. And he wants to be so close to me that he becomes part of me, and I become part of him in Holy Communion. You know, we were faced with the sad fact that there's so many of our brothers and sisters who count themselves as Catholics who either don't believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist or really don't understand it very well. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly. People fall on a spectrum, I guess, somewhere. But there's a huge number for whom this is not one of the central things that they believe and trust.
Right.
And so here's a way, again, sort of, I say, not flippantly, but where we put the Holy Spirit to work. Holy Spirit, help me see this and know that that is true, that I can have confidence that this is really, really Jesus. So it's connected, of course, to this idea of the Sunday obligation. Once I really know that this is true, that I have this living encounter with this with the Son of God, why would I stay away? You know, how do I think I can possibly go on as a disciple of Jesus, but even as a decent human being, when I have this chance to be so close to the Lord, and I think, well, I'll get to that later or some other week. No, it's essential. And the Holy Spirit helps us see the importance of it and the truth of it. But the Spirit helps us understand this another way. So we have our private moments of prayer. So people pray in the morning, they pray before they go to bed, maybe pray before an important meeting, or, you know, young people before a test or a game, perhaps. And conscious of the presence and the action of the Holy Spirit, we have the experience that Jesus is with us when we pray. That's not just our imagination. And we don't have to sit there and wonder, well, I wonder if is anybody listening? Is this connecting anywhere? Oh, Jesus is right there. And if it's a good day, we're joyful, grateful. Jesus is offering grateful prayers with us. Maybe I'm having a bad day. Maybe things have gone sideways. People don't want to have anything to do with me. Maybe my fault, maybe not. But with those things that disturb us or that we're afraid of, Jesus isn't afraid of them. And you know, when a disciple of his who has received the Holy Spirit is praying, maybe it's joyfully, maybe it's desperately, Jesus is there. And the Holy Spirit gives us that confidence. That we're, once he's called us, he's with us. And we may turn our backs on him, but he doesn't turn his back on us. And even when we're in trouble, and I think especially then, the Holy Spirit helps us, again, just recognize this truth. It's not a pious imagination. It's true. Jesus is there. So Holy Spirit, help me see that. Help me experience that. Then all kinds of other things are possible. So these other gifts of the Holy Spirit can also go into action in a variety of ways. But I won't depend on those gifts much if I don't have the experience of this living relationship of the Spirit and what the Spirit is doing in what I might say my personal relationship with the Lord in the Eucharist. It's our that's our communal relationship. But then as I'm recounting my confirmation homily, there's a second request that I encourage those being confirmed, encourage all our listeners, to invite from the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me see the person close to me who needs something that I'm able to give. This is a second part of discipleship, of course. Jesus sent not only had his disciples close to him and wanted them to be confident that he was with them, but he also sent them out and asked them to live their faith, to live like Christians, to live like somebody who had encountered the risen Jesus and for whom that had made now a huge difference. And he asked them to be practical. So to think about people who are hungry, people who are sick, people who are in prison, and to not let them carry their burdens alone. We always want to approach people respectfully, but we should think that there are people out there who need something, and I might have something to offer. It applies closer to home too. We should be conscious of those material needs of our brothers and sisters, but there's also in our families and coworkers, there are people who need encouragement. Maybe somebody's hurt me, even deliberately. They could use my forgiveness. You know, the pandemic has exacerbated what was already a terrible burden in our society, in our community, of people just not thinking well of themselves and, you know, being depressed, you know, clinically or not, or isolated, and just having a real doubts about their worth as a person, and wondering, do I matter to anybody? Do I matter to God? Is God even looking in my direction? There's a very good and positive answer to that question, but it's not always something that somebody can find on their own. And so, you know, what Jesus sends us out and asks us to pay attention, to not just walk past the people near us who we may be familiar with, but we might not, if we're not paying attention, we don't notice. There's something that they are lacking, something that they need that I'm perfectly capable of offering. Can't solve all the world's problems, can't necessarily solve any other person's problem, but I can notice them and their need and again, offer what I have. So it's, I'm convinced it's the Holy Spirit that animates our noticing, that gives us a generous heart, or we might say warms my heart to the needs of another person, so that my relationship with Jesus, we might say, is activated in the community, in my relationships with other people. So it's great to be close to the Lord. This is a great gift, this great privilege. But as good as it is to be close to Jesus, he doesn't just say, I want you just to hang out with me for the rest of your life, and that's enough. But he sends us out every day, and we don't have to go far. There is sometimes more that we're able to do. So we were talking in our archdiocese these last several years, you know, about what it means to be missionary disciples. Mm-hmm. And so we, most of us, especially if we're prepared by prayer and maybe other little preparation, or can maybe talk about our faith with other people, maybe encourage others in faith, maybe take the opportunity to pray with others. That's all from the Holy Spirit living and acting in us, that sends us out of ourselves, mm-hmm. to witness our faith in Jesus Christ. It's easy just to sit kind of like a lump, you know, and not be conscious of the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit. Occasionally we get just knocked over by it. But most of the time I find it helps to invite the Holy Spirit to live and act in me, but really I believe the Holy Spirit's living in me, but to show me how that's true, and give me an experience that I can really sense, you know, that not just know, but really sense the closeness of the Lord, and then give me the apostolic impulse, you know, to go out of myself and to meet some brother or sister of mine, particularly in their need.
This is beautiful and very helpful for those of us who are wondering about the state of the world, my family or friends, my community, what all of the constellation of needs and stresses and problems. But what you put in front of us, these two questions that we can put to the Spirit, put to him, these two requests, help me recognize how close Jesus is, and help me see someone next to me who has something I have to give, or a need I can help supply for. Not complicated. Difficult, perhaps. Difficult as a daily practice. Difficult as a constant disposition, because I'm weak and sinful and distracted, and you know, I'm always in need of conversion. But simple, because they're right there, here. You know, so I don't know, personally, maybe others have different experiences, but when I was younger, when maybe in confirmation prep and other times, when some of these, and my relationship is still in progress, you know, being developed with the Lord.
Along with the club.
Right. But particularly then, was just purely notional for the most part. Being sent out or being on mission was something kind of out there. Oh gosh, what am I? I'm supposed to go do what? And it was all separate from like life in the immediate sense. Does that make sense? So it's for someday, somewhere else, or gosh, I have to go by myself and go do that. And personally, I've been discovering more, and I've seen in other people how this sort of the mysterious, it's not a paradox exactly, but the mysterious way in which he sends us out, but doesn't send us out away from him. He sends us out with himself. It's go. You've experienced this with me, and now also go. Also, I'll still be with you in the going, but you won't experience it unless you open yourself outward more. Mm-hmm. Is that jive with
you? Yeah, very, very much. Yeah. So that's the point of asking the Holy Spirit to help me recognize the closeness
right
of the
now,
Lord.
Yeah.
And again, coming back to the Sunday Mass, we have this intense experience in the community of the real presence of Jesus. We receive him in Holy Communion. So he's right in me, part of me. I'm part of him. And then right away he sends us out. But he comes with us.
Yeah.
We're fortified by this living presence of Jesus. You know, the communion isn't just a transaction or a, you know, sort of like a knock on the head or something. Mm-hmm. You know, this living person, the risen Jesus, comes to dwell in me, unworthy as I am. It's always true. I try to be as worthy as I can be, but he knows me like he knew the first disciples. Mm-hmm. And once he's called me, he wants to be with me. He knows I'm not perfect. And he wants to be with me as a savior, as well as a brother, because I need one. I need both. But that, so he is with us, and then we don't give enough attention to the dismissal at the end of the Mass. You know,
dismissal, missile.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we're sent with a mission. So we leave with the should leave with a purpose, and this purpose should be, I'm going out of the out into the world. Holy Spirit, help me notice where's the opportunity? Where's the opportunity to witness my faith so that before I come back next Sunday, there should be somebody, maybe somebody I know, maybe somebody that's looking at me from a distance who begins to think that there's some evidence that there is such a thing as the Holy Spirit and that Jesus is really alive and that his relationship with us really makes a difference. I'm a different person. I'm a new person because of the coming of Jesus and the now my connection with him through the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, that was the impact of the first Pentecost. We can't repeat that exactly in all the details, but I think the template is there. So that Jesus had given the disciples a mission that would seem big, like to the ends of the earth. He left them at the Ascension, which we celebrate also at this time of year. And so he had promised them the Holy Spirit, but they didn't really know what that meant. But they were praying, we can imagine, together praying that this promise that Jesus made would be fulfilled. So it took 10 days. They didn't know if it was going to be 10 days or 10 years or whatever. But they were praying. And it wasn't long. They had this sense, this experience that the Holy Spirit was with them. It's described in the scriptures in kind of an intense way, but whatever it was, they experienced it. And the first thing they did was they went out and they started talking about what they had experienced in their relationship with Jesus. And what happened? People believed them.
Yeah.
Not everybody believed.
No.
But, you know, on Pentecost, it said 3,000 listened and maybe had known something about Jesus already, maybe didn't. But because of the witness of these imperfect people filled with the Holy Spirit, they stepped forward and said, I want that. I want that in my life. I want my life to be transformed in the same way that yours has. So do we need that today? Yes, I think we do. Mm-hmm. We need it more than ever. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of us who Jesus has called to be his disciples, and especially we think, as we're talking here in our Catholic experience, in the Catholic community, it's beyond us, though, that the Lord invites. But really, he has invited us, and there are a lot of us, and in the Archdiocese of Omaha, there are a lot of us, and we should be having an impact. And there should be a powerful experience of the presence of Jesus and the action of the Spirit in our lives, so that more people can have that experience too, and can have the confidence in the presence of Jesus that we have life in him. So we do have a mission, and this Feast of Pentecost helps focus that for us. It's a privilege and a responsibility that Jesus has given to us, and he hasn't left us to do it alone.
Amen. And thank you for the reminder and the encouragement to go with our poverty and shortcomings. And as you said, it's simple. Ask the Spirit. So let's put it. You said put him to work. I like that. We'll have to use that in the notes. let's put him to work. If that experience of the Mass is just at the level of obligation, to say, you know, what we said at the top of this episode, and not doesn't seem, you know, we don't experience it often as an invitation, or if that's your experience in your family or with your friends, well, then that's the place to start asking. So start asking. Ask. Help me to see what else is here, or help me to see what is this efficacious sign that is the Eucharist that I receive? How can I show me how to respond? And he speaks in facts and in things that happen and in people in front of you, you know? And so we go with our eyes open and, you know, I hope and pray that we do that. This invitation, I thank you for myself, but also I pray that others will hear this and to be moved to respond in kind, to say, I want that and help me to go where I need to go.
Too often, I'm sad to say, that the experience of the Mass is kind of a dud for a lot of people. So I think, and that's going to be the case if I just show up, and it's good to show up, right. but without any preparation, without any, you know, what do I want? Yes. Well, you know, what do I desire? What's the grace I'm looking for? It's fair to ask for something. It's important to ask, I think. And so when the whole bunch of us show up with nothing particularly on our mind, no desire, well, the whole experience is a dud. And somebody who might be coming back to Mass, who hasn't been there for a while, who does have a desire, looks around and says, I don't see any evidence of the Holy Spirit. I don't see any evidence of the risen Jesus. I'm not, you know, what am I doing here? So it's not just for us to jump up and down and bang tambourines and that sort of thing. Right. But a little more of that every so often might not be such a bad idea. If it's coming from, you know, an overflowing joy and confidence in the Holy Spirit and an enthusiasm about the mission of being a disciple of Jesus, we want our liturgy to be reverent and respectful, but not mm-hmm. boring. And so we try to plan for the externals of the liturgy to be reverent and part of our beautiful treasury of worship and prayer and music and so forth. But I do think it really is important to pray in anticipation that I will receive what the Lord wants me to receive. And it's okay to ask for what we want, but to not have the request be too small. You know, to ask to have an experience of the presence of Jesus, to believe that he's there. Again, that's because of the way the sacraments operate. The Lord will be there, whether all the people in the church notice that he is or isn't. But that's a waste. you know, he wants to feed us spiritually, really, and the Holy Spirit wants to animate us for the life that's given to us. And again, the transformation of the world is the Lord's work, of course, but it's in the hands of the lay faithful. The Second Vatican Council tells us so. In all the places where the people who participate in the Mass find themselves mm-hmm. later on Sunday and throughout the week, there's an important responsibility that's given to us, but also an important, powerful gifts that are given.
Excellent. Yeah, thank you for this charge. You know, all of us would do well to pray and that we, you know, hear this with an openness and a desire. We go with a desire into this next, well, all of it, right? The next time you go back to Mass, go with a desire, go with a longing. And these two requests, Holy Spirit, help me to recognize how close Jesus is to me, and help me to see my neighbor, my brother or sister who needs something that I can supply. There's no more complicated program that we need right now than that. So thank you, Archbishop. Any other a closing exhortation or a blessing that you'd like to offer?
I'll reissue the invitation to anybody who's listening. If you have been hesitant to come back to Mass or have wandered away for any number of reasons, I just want you to hear from me that, how much we want you back. I believe that our parishes are working each in their own setting, you know, to make sure that it's a safe and a comfortable setting for us in terms of the pandemic. Pray, Heavenly Father, as we approach the Feast of Pentecost, give us an experience of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives individually and within the church. Help us to recognize the living presence of your Son, to value his presence in the sacrament of the Eucharist, and help us with the Spirit's light and courage to recognize the opportunities that are ours to be of service to our brothers and sisters. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Again, thank you, Archbishop, for this time and for your for sharing your voice with us. Hope that you have a blessed celebration of Pentecost, and the end of this Easter season is fruitful for you as well.
Thanks. God bless you all.
See you later, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice, a podcast of the Archdiocese of Omaha. For more information, visit archomaha.org/podcast.